ShipShape.pro, the number one resource in the U.S. for marine professionals.
Today on the ShipShape podcast, we have Greg Hine. He's the CEO of Baxter Marine Group, founder of JHC Interactive, and the host of the Aviation Growth Podcast. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Merle. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Welcome, Greg. Good to have you on.
Yeah. Thank you, T.
So, Greg, you've been kind of all over the place. You know, you've been in the aviation space. Now you're in the marine, kind of doing both of that. But how long have you actually been in the maritime industry?
Yeah. So good question. Professionally, I've been in the maritime industry for going on about 3 months now, but I grew up on the water. I've been boating and fishing since I was a little kid. And so I've been around the industry quite a bit, but Baxter Marine Group, which I joined in February or March of this year, been my first step into the marine industry in a professional way.
That's cool. Because so many of the people that we get on the show, they've sort of later in life, they've discovered that, oh, there's like a whole other world out there. Yeah. Right?
And sure.
So tell us more about this most recent marine adventure. What's been involved?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to maybe give you a little bit of a rundown about Baxter Marine Group and what that's all about. And so Baxter Marine Group is actually made up of two companies. One is a product called Vessel Vanguard, or a business called Vessel Vanguard. And Vessel Vanguard is what we call a SaaS or a software platform that we sell and is used by a couple different segments in the marine space. And so we sell it to yacht owners, yacht managers, and also commercial fleets. So, you know, passenger ferries, cruise, fishing fleets. And the core of the platform is really focused on helping these owners and operators manage all of the maintenance on their vessels. And so all of their preventative maintenance, one-time maintenance events, inventory, managing all of their documents and maintenance manuals. They can do that all inside of the Vessel Vanguard platform.
We're talking about bigger boats here, is all I was going to ask.
Yeah. So, you know, we do track, we have boats on the platform that range from as small as 20 feet up to over 250 feet that are on the platform. I will say that the kind of the sweet spot for a platform starts at once you get into that 40 foot plus range. And so, you know, once you get to that type of vessel, you start getting into the complexities of having,
multiple, you know, systems. Yeah.
Exactly. Like multiple engines, electrical generation, HVAC, you know, all different types of systems, water makers is a big one, but you know, all types of systems that can really affect, you know, your use of the boat. Right. And so, you know, staying on top of preventative maintenance is really huge so that, you know, when you go out and you're looking to, you know, take a weekend trip or you're planning your summer vacation, really trying to reduce the number of times that something goes wrong on the boat, and preventative maintenance can really help do that. And so, you know, platform helps with that. And, you know, I'd be lying if we say our platform like prevents all issues from going wrong, because you know, as everybody knows, on boats, you know, there's always something.
There's always something. Yeah.
There's always something, right? Yeah. And so kind of the second piece of what I'd call our like value proposition for our platform is that when something does go wrong, it's really nice to have all of the information about your vessel and that piece of equipment all in one spot. And so you can easily see, you know, the make, model, the serial number, when something was installed, all of the maintenance manuals, all the history for whatever component you're looking at. And so when something does go wrong, you have all that information, and hopefully it helps you in getting it back, you know, repaired and back up and running as quickly as possible.
Yeah, maybe they can find the guy on Shipshape.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Good. Sure. Yeah.
So this was Baxter Marine and Vessel Vanguard. And then you mentioned there was another part to this puzzle.
Yeah. And so the second company is called SeaKits. And under SeaKits, we have a few different products. But the SeaKits brand, what we sell are damage control and repair kits. We have three different sizes going from like we have a sport, essentials, and an expedition. And essentially, these are high quality kits that have a lot of different products all in, you know, one kind of neat waterproof case. And so in the event of, you know, you hit something while you're underway, like a, you know, a piece of wood or a shipping container, or you run aground somewhere and you have a hull breach, or you have a through hole fitting that fails, or any situation essentially where there might be water coming into the boat that should not be there, SeaKits can help in having all the materials in one place that can help you repair it quickly and effectively.
Tell me more about this. What does this mean? Say, you know, there's a hole in your hull, like would it include like the wooden cork and the plug it and some fiberglass putty and a pump and like what would be in there?
Yeah, sure. So we have all different types of products that can be used based on the situation, right? And so, you know, first we have tools in there. So we have like a hatchet, a saw, a knife, screwdriver, all that type of stuff. We also have different types of sealants. We have different types of waterproof tape. We have different types of plugs, which I'll elaborate a little bit on. We have the kit comes with wooden plugs, but we also own and sell a product called TruePlug, which is under the SeaKits brand, but it's a product that we own that is a what we call a modern alternative to wooden plugs. And so it's a foam plug. It comes in two different sizes. We have our original and our mini, and it is a super effective way to stop a hole, stop a leak coming through a hole. And it's a great product. That was an individual company that we actually bought last year and rolled up under our SeaKits brand.
All right. So this was, so SeaKits sounds older then, right?
Yeah. So, you know, both, you know, Baxter Marine Group was actually formed last year in the beginning of 2021. But the Vessel Vanguard company, as well as the SeaKits company, they've both been around for some time. Mm. And so they came together under Baxter Marine Group through acquisitions.
Okay, Greg. So you said that you grew up boating. Are you originally from Florida?
No. So yeah, I was born and raised on Long Island in New York. So I grew up on the South Shore of Long Island on the Great South Bay, and lived in between New York, and then I went to school in Boston. So I spent some time up in your neck of the woods. And then I moved down to Southwest Florida, Fort Myers area in 2010. And so I've been living the Florida life for the last 12 years or so now.
And at what point did you get into aviation? Because you had a whole career with that.
Sure. Yeah. So I got into aviation pretty much straight out of college. It was one of my first ventures in a company called Flight Docs. And so Flight Docs is very similar in a lot of ways to Vessel Vanguard in that we sold a software platform to business aircraft operators. So like business jets, helicopters, turboprops, and it helped them keep track of all of their maintenance on their aircraft. So all of their preventative maintenance, their one-time maintenance, inventory management, purchasing, they could do inside of the Flight Docs platform. And so I had joined Flight Docs when it was a pretty small company. There was less than 10 people there. And over the next, I guess, 10 or 11 years as I was there, we really evolved that company through new product development, We were able to, new product development, really upping our sales and marketing and just expanding our customer base. We were able to grow that company about 10 times over. And so that was a really fun experience in being a part of that and driving that company forward. And in 2020, we had about 100 employees at Flight Docs. And we had, it was a really fun ride. And we ended up actually selling Flight Docs and merging with another company in aviation called ATP. And so I stayed on as part of the executive team at ATP and for the merge companies, and stayed on there for about a year before heading out and starting up GHC Interactive, which Merrill, you had mentioned, which is my, at this point, somewhat of a side project. For the last year or so before joining Baxter Marine Group, it was my full-time gig, and where we worked with aviation companies and helping them build new software products and new technology, but also worked with them on strategies around go-to-market. So helping them scale their teams, helping them build strategies for marketing. And so that's what I was doing for about a year before joining Baxter Marine Group.
Now, when I go out to bars and stuff and I tell people that I'm in the maritime space, they say, "You ever get out on those mega yachts?" And I say, "Damn right I do." So were you able to get a lot of plane experience? Do you know how to fly a plane?
So no, personally, I don't know how to fly a plane. It might be something that I think one day I'll have enough time and interest to do it myself. But I just have a lot of other hobbies, honestly. And so I never learned how to fly. I was able to get on some of these planes, but not as much as I would like. I'll be honest. I flew a lot of commercial over the last 10 years.
But tell us, I mean, our listeners and we haven't probably seen some of the crazy stuff you've seen. Give us what's the craziest plane you've been on?
I mean, I've been on all types of planes. Some of the most impressive are, if you've heard of a Boeing business jet, most of them are,
tell us about it.
Yeah, sure. The most popular plane in the world, commercial plane in the world, is a 737, which if you've flown commercial, you've probably flown on a 737. They typically hold, they're typically seating for, in between 100 and maybe 130 people on your typical Delta or Southwest flight, right? And there are the same make model plane in the business jet world can be configured to seat 8 people if you want to. So you can
lots
imagine
of leg room. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of leg room. There is, there are bedrooms in there. I've even seen one that has a full gym on board. And so, with, a Peloton and, weights and all different types of stuff. And so, nice. Yeah, there's some pretty crazy stuff out there. And there's
business class, and then there's a business jet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, and flying business class is really nice. But flying on a business jet is, I'd say, is next level. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay. That's cool. And what about boats then? Have you seen any crazy boats so far?
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely been on, a decent amount. Obviously you walk, walk some of these shows or, even with some of our customers. Yeah. There's some, it's just really nice boats out there. I think for me personally, some of the mega yachts are, they're maybe a little bit overkill. I think maybe down the road, something in the 50 to 60 foot would be nice for me. But even then, I'm more of a, I'll be honest, I'm more of a small boat guy. I'm really into, I'm like a diehard flats and fly fisherman.
Nice.
So yeah, my boats are typically under 25 feet. And
but do you still have one? Do you rent one?
I do. Yeah, I have a skiff and I have a bay boat. And so yeah, any time that I get to be out on the water, I'm out there. The nice thing about small boats is that you just don't have the headaches of bigger boats. You know,
you don't need a whole crew, for example.
Yeah, you don't need a whole crew. The maintenance on them is easy. And typically, you know, especially nowadays with the, you know, the equipment that's on board, you know, we're talking about, you know, my one skiff has a Yamaha 70 four stroke and the other one has a 300 or 400 Mercury. They're so reliable. And, you know, it's you do your annual service and you're pretty much good to go. And so as long as you
decades.
As long as you're using them regularly, they tend to run great. And that's I just like being out on the water. I like fishing, and yeah, the small boats work really well for me.
What made you make that jump then from, like, you know, hardcore aviation to pretty, like, you jumped off the deep end of the pool into the marine world as well?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously I have a lot of, you know, personal interest in the marine world. It's, you know, what I love doing. Anytime that I'm not working, I like being on the water. And so this was really interesting for me from that perspective. But also the, you know, in reality, the looking at what I did in the aviation space, a lot of that was really focused on the software and the business side of things. And it wasn't, you know, I made a lot of great connections in aviation. My network was in aviation, but a lot of the experience that I gained through that was really, like, I'll say, you know, straight up just business and software and SaaS experience. And so it's something that, you know, you get the experience in building new products and marketing them and selling them and supporting them. And you could pretty easily, I believe, transfer that to other industries. And so there was just a lot of similarities, especially with the Vessel Vanguard platform, in between, you know, maritime and aviation. And it's just something I've been able to jump into pretty smoothly.
And you sort of missed it at one level.
How big is the aviation market compared to the maritime market in terms of size?
That's a good question. I probably wouldn't quote this, but there's about, when we looked at the number of aircraft that we looked at as kind of targets and potential customers in the aviation space, there was about 50,000 targets worldwide. And if you were to do that same look at the maritime space, I believe it's significantly more. You know, obviously when you start looking at the number of small boats out there is in the millions, I believe. And as you go up into the super yacht category, you know, that market gets significantly smaller in terms of numbers of boats, but, you know, the dollar value associated with those is significant. So I think we have a lot more targets, but it's, you know, you need to find kind of the sweet spot for where it makes sense to do business.
So give us some of the similarities and trends between the industry, because you're so well poised to tell us about that. What, like, in the boat world, you know, like you said, there's small boats, there's a 40-foot boats. Like, is like personal aircraft a big thing? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So there's definitely some similarities there. In the past business, like I said, at Flight Docs, the key targets that we had were really in what we would consider business aviation. And so these are like turboprop aircraft and above, business jets. There's a huge number of aircraft that are in the what we would call GA or general aviation segment of the market. And so those are going to be your little Pipers and Barons and Cessna 172s. And so a lot of those small aircraft that you see flying around every day are really part of that general aviation segment, which we didn't target at my last business. And so there is some similarities there, because, like, as I said, as you start looking at, you know, you're looking at boats that are in that, like, 16 foot up to 30 foot, you know, I really consider those, you know, somewhat like recreational type users. These are, you know, weekend warriors and people who just, you know, like to get out, you know, single engine boats, twin engine boats, maybe at the larger end. But the complexities of, you know, the maintenance on these types mm-hmm. of boats, the complexity of the buyer. It's very similar to like that general aviation market. And so that's where, you know, with our Vessel Vanguard platform, we don't really target the smaller end of the market. But the similarities as you start moving into the larger boats and comparing them with the aircraft, it's eerily similar.
But in terms of, is there a liveaboard community on airplanes? Like, that'd be cool. No.
I mean, there are people that do, you know, spend a lot of time, and they do like long extended trips where they're, you know, flying from, you know, point to point to point and kind of traveling around. But I don't know if they are living aboard their aircraft.
That'd be cool, right? Just gutted the whole thing, made it exactly the way they wanted.
I think the boat world is, there's much more people that choose that type of lifestyle than on planes.
Yeah, it's even more niche, right?
Yeah.
But it is, I know so many people in the boat world, though, that are going to like flying school or something and, you know, getting mm-hmm. their pilot's license. So it is definitely sort of gateway, you know,
for sure.
We know a ton of people that were coming from, you know, flying.
And the other way around. Yep.
You know, planes and fighter pilots and all that other type of stuff that got into boating after they finished their tour.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just one of those things where the type of people that gravitate towards, you know, specific hobbies or activities, there tends to be, you know, there just tends to be a lot of crossover there. And a lot of the people that we're talking to at Vessel Vanguard, you know, I was talking with somebody the other day. He has, I think it's a 75-foot boat. And yeah, he also has a Cessna 172, and he flew as a commercial airline pilot, was his career. And so, you know, there's definitely a lot of crossover between the two industries.
One thing that we know about the marine industry, and we've had this brought up multiple times, is kind of how far behind in technology the maritime space is. Mm. You know, I heard some person say that auto is 10 years behind home, and then boats are 10 years behind auto. And I like to think that probably the aviation space is a little bit better with technology, just because there's so many more standards that are out there.
Yeah, I'd say aviation's in a similar place as marine in some areas. But I think, you know, as we look at like maintenance management, for sure is a bit behind in marine than the aviation space. And one of the reasons is because aviation is much more regulated than marine. And so, you know, when we looked at even some of the more basic aircraft that we service in my last business, the idea of doing things on like spreadsheets or, you know, pure paper just wasn't feasible because of the risks associated with the regulatory aspect of things. Because if you were to miss preventative maintenance or, you know, a maintenance event as an aircraft owner and operator, there are significant fines that come with that if that was to be reported to the FAA or they were to find that. And from like a business standpoint, you know, if you're a charter operator and you have an issue or you miss something or there's an incident, you can have your operating certificate revoked, which essentially means that your business is over. And so, you know, the regulatory aspect is one of the big differences between aviation and marine. And one of the reasons I think that, you know, the aviation space is probably a little bit farther along. But as we look at the marine space, we just see that there's a big opportunity, especially, you know, in the area that we play in today, to give customers an easy and effective way to keep track of all of their mm-hmm. all their maintenance. Because, you know, the customers that use it, what we hear back from customers is that they are paying, like the return on investment is significant. You know, our subscription's not all that much. And just preventing one maintenance issue or having information on hand when something goes wrong can really pay for itself very quickly.
Yeah. It's like a MasterCard advert, you know, it's priceless. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what we're hearing back from customers, especially when you start talking about these larger vessels. There's very little on them that is inexpensive, right? And, you know, the parts are expensive. The lead times, especially nowadays, are significant.
Yep.
Getting into boat yards is now, you know, they're backed up months and months now. And so, you know, having a tool that allows you to stay on top of this stuff is just so important. And we're really trying to shine a light on what's doable in this space.
Thank you. I like to think that preventative maintenance on planes has a little bit more of a risk of death and loss of life than maritime. You know, I got like a phobia about planes. And every time I get on a plane, I'm like, oh, my God, how are they even doing this maintenance? Like, I'm so used to boats breaking down all the time that I'm like, how is this even possible that they're keeping up with all this?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, there's
software. Yeah,
there's more risk to it. But, you know, they definitely are a lot more methodical in how they approach maintenance, both preventative and like unscheduled maintenance. And, you know, especially the airlines and the charter guys, they really are on top of all this stuff. And it's made it an extremely safe industry. When you think about the amount of flights that go that take off every day,
right,
and the number of incidents there are, it's such a small percentage. And a lot of that is, you know, because of the preventative maintenance that's taking place, as well as the training, the amount of training that, you know, the pilots and the mechanics and the support teams have in the aviation industry is significant.
So, Greg, give us maybe a little bit more about like the similarities and differences, and also maybe tie it into like some of the trends you might have seen develop maybe in aviation, or if you can speak about the marine world as well.
Yeah, I think as we looked at like aviation as time went on, and again, a lot of my experience is really on the technology side of things. And so, you know, we started to see, and we were actually a driver of the adoption of new technology. And so the, you know, what we saw over the last 10 years in the aviation space was, you know, people going from recording all of their maintenance and everything they did all on paper to, you know, we introduced an iPad application that allowed them to walk out to their aircraft and sign things off electronically. And so we started seeing that, you know, that hunger for adoption of new technology, which I think, you know, there's comes from two places. One is everybody is now used to, you know, having an iPhone or an iPad or being connected. And so as time goes on, it's just the adoption of new technology. And then there's now this hunger of wanting that in their professional life. And so, you know, I'm not writing things down by hand in my day-to-day life or communicating with, you know, people around me. Why would I be recording all of this information in a paper log book, right? And so,
and also the trackability improves,
yeah,
you know, manifold, I mean,
there,
right?
There's so many benefits in doing that. And so, you know, we start seeing that technology, you know, hunger for new technology. And also, like, one of the big things that we saw in the aviation space was the integration of all different platforms. And that's somewhere, you know, that's
tell us more about that. What do you mean?
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm sure you guys have this experience and have seen this, you know, for instance, we had our maintenance software, and then there would be a flight operation software. Then there would be another work order management system. And for the longest time, a lot of these systems ran what I'd call in silos. And so they weren't integrated, and there wasn't a good flow of data between these platforms. And a lot of that had to do with the limitations of the technology available. And so, you know, as time goes on and advancements have been made in, you know, cloud technology, integrating and moving data from one place to another has become easier. And we're starting to see, you know, much more, many more companies actually integrate. And so I see that as being a big opportunity in the marine space as well, in being able to, you know, take information from one platform to another and create an experience for customers where there's minimal, you know, transferring of information between platforms. Or, you know, one of the examples would be even like taking the actual data from your boat or from your engines, being able to automatically update your maintenance platform. And so I think that the technology that's out there today is going to create a more integrated world as more and more people are willing to adopt new technology in the space.
So speaking about technology, the big push is also electric, and we're seeing it in boats now. You know, mm-hmm. It's making its insteps. How is it affecting the aviation world?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of companies that are making a push for EV aircraft. And, you know, there's been, just like in any of the other industries, there's been a couple companies that kind of come out and there's like a big hype around them. And I had a friend who kind of called them just science experiments and not you know, not legitimate products. But there are a handful that are actually showing, you know, some pretty decent promise in being able to deliver, you know, fully functional electric aircraft. And so, again, I think that's one of the big difference. Like we were talking about some of the differences in safety, you know, with aviation, these have to be much, much, much mm-hmm. more reliable and mm-hmm. tested products. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, we've been using trolling motors and things yeah. like that on boats for a long time. And so yeah. I think that the use of, you know, especially as you start seeing all these lithium batteries and quick yeah. charging, I think that it's much more reality in the marine space. Mm-hmm. And it can be used in a number of different applications. Whereas I think in aviation, it's going to be a little bit more limited. Mm-hmm. The idea of flying, like, you know, flying 3 or 4 hours on electric, we're mm-hmm. probably pretty far out from something like that.
And is that why you were saying that, like, aviation is almost like lagging because they just need everything so thoroughly tested, you know, yeah. for like a decade before it shows up in the air?
For right. sure. That I'd say that's one of the, you know, it's one of the restrictive things about innovation getting into aviation is that, you know, it's similar to, like, if you think about pharmaceutical, right? It takes like 10 years before a new drug comes out, and the amount of investment that goes into that is huge. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's very few new companies creating new equipment or technology in aviation because the amount of investment and infrastructure that you need to do something like that is significant because of all the regulation.
What do you see the future of the marine industry headed? You see, you know, one of the things about innovation in pretty much any industry is that there almost never is any innovation from someone that's been in an industry for a very long period of time. Mm-hmm. Almost most innovation kind of comes from this new perspective, new person coming into the space. So, you know, from your time that you've been in the industry and your experiences and others, where do you think the industry is headed in 10 years, in 20 years?
Yeah, sure. You know, honestly,
I'm
probably not the best person to answer that, to be honest. You know, I do definitely see the advancements that are being made in, you know, whether it's electric or, you know, even some of the advancements that are being made where you're seeing like the technology being used in outboard motors to the point where we now have, you know, 600 horsepower and, you know, five outboard engines on a 53 foot center console. Yeah. There's been some, you know, pretty big changes that have gotten us to that point. In regards to, you know, like, you know, major advancements or like, you know, mind blowing changes in the industry, you know, honestly, I'm not too sure. I think that, you know, electric could be part of it. You're starting to see like new things with like hydrofoil designs and yep. things like that.
Solar's making a big
solar. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with most things, you know, it's just about that like continuous evolution. It doesn't ever seem to be like a, overnight, like something gets introduced that's just wild. You know, it's you know, slow evolution and building upon, you know, kind of what I'd call production proven technology and consistently building upon that. And you get to where you're at today.
And Greg, in the aviation world, one of the cool things I saw was that ion drive or something that they're working on, right? Where they charge the air and there's almost no moving parts and they can't really like lift heavy stuff yet, but that sounded really exciting.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not super familiar with that, but I have seen some things around that. There's also, you know, people are talking about and testing hydrogen power, which is another, you know, another source. And so, yeah, there's, you know, there's just a lot going on. It's tough to keep track of what of everything that's happening, but definitely some neat stuff that's happening in both industries.
Yep. Exciting times.
One of the things about the marine space is just how international it is. We had an interview with this girl, Georgia, from the Super Yacht Times, and she said this really good quote where it was basically like, everyone's international because we're all connected to the ocean. Like, every country is connected to the ocean. I like to think that probably the aviation space is in a similar type of wheelhouse in that sense, probably made you relatively prepared for the maritime space. Have you guys tried to... Are you guys going international at this point, or?
Yeah, we do. I mean, the you know, especially just with how connected everybody is, whether it's, you know, from through the internet, through LinkedIn, through Instagram, you know, now it's all kind of like, you know, obviously each country has its different, you know, whether it's culture or regulations or, you know, whatever, but you know, everybody is so interconnected nowadays, and it's made it really easy to do business around the world. And so we have customers on Vessel Vanguard and all over the world. You know, our biggest concentration is here in the States, just because that's where we're based. But we have owners and operators in Europe, in the Middle East, in Asia, South America, you know, I mean, all over the place. And, you know, nowadays it's just so easy to do business internationally from a technology standpoint.
Nice. Maybe, I don't know how much you want to share, but we'd love to hear some of the future plans for Vessel Vanguard, or even you haven't spoken about your aviation podcast, maybe like what your plans are with that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, with Vessel Vanguard, I would say that's taking up the majority of my time at this point, as we dig in and really figure out the plans for the future of the company. But one of the big projects that we're working on right now is a full replatform. And so we're actually building a new version of Vessel Vanguard right now. It's called internally, and who knows, this might be the name for it in the future, but it'll be called Vessel Vanguard 360. And so it's going to be a new version of our platform that just brings a completely modern infrastructure to it. And so we're building it from scratch. We're building it utilizing a lot of the tools that are now available in Amazon Web Services. And the idea behind it is going to be delivering just a super user-friendly interface, whether you're on web or mobile, and giving kind of one platform that maybe has multiple views that allows us to really sell effectively to the smaller end of the market or the more simpler type of customers.
How smart is it already, and how smart can it become?
Yeah, just to finish that thought, you know, really catering to, it could be a single boat owner up to, you know, we have customers on Vessel Vanguard right now that are, you know, 200 boats plus in like 50 different locations. And so trying to create a platform that allows us to cater to both of those types of customers is can be kind of tricky, but that's where, you know, we're bringing our experience from the aviation side, because we were able to do that something very similar in that aspect, mm-hmm. and bring that type of technology into the marine space. And so, you know, we're still, I'll say, somewhat early in this project. Mm-hmm. It's moving along very quickly. And so, you know, we're expecting an initial rollout to come probably in like Q4 of this year.
And how smart is it already? And what are the future smartness plans?
And so right now we have a version of it in our, I'll say it's in a prototype phase right now. We're actually using it on a few boats internally. And so, you know, we have a super nice, we're kind of doing the initial testing in our iOS mobile app. We will expand that to Android in the future, but it's going to give users, you know, a single view where they could see everything that's going on with their boat. So all their current equipment times, any maintenance that's coming due in the near future. We also have, you know, some cool little features in there around operational checklists or shopping lists. And so just a really clean, powerful user interface. And ideally, as we move forward with it, like I was talking about the integrations, we'd like to, you know, start integrating with some other platforms out there to be able to deliver some more data into our system. So whether it's pulling equipment information or, you know, service providers or things like that into the platform, I think that's where we'd like to see it go, you know, ideally in the future.
Are you afraid of sharks?
Not really. In addition to all the boating and fishing, I don't surf as much as I used to, but that used to be my number one hobby is surfing. Nice. And so I've spent quite a lot of time in the water all over the place, and I was never really too worried about it. So I'd say, you know, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm maybe at a 5 or so. I've seen sharks in the water, and it's not super comfortable. And if I saw one up close, I'd probably crap myself. So, and actually, I've done some scuba diving as well, and I've seen some actually up close. But scuba diving, like when you see them in the water like that, and I haven't seen really big ones. I've seen a couple, like maybe 5-foot black tip sharks here in Florida. It'd be good if I didn't see them, but you know, it is what it is. If I saw like a 8-foot bull shark, I'd probably be pretty, probably be a little scared.
Yeah, size matters. Yeah.
That's for sure. These lunatics that are like diving down with like 18-foot great white sharks or like, you know, 15-foot tiger shark. That is
mad.
That's absolutely insane. That's not for me.
So, Greg, on the show, we love doing sort of tips and advice for our listeners. What, like, I bet you like your job, right? And you'd recommend it to other people, right? Is that, and whether it was aviation or boating, right? So how does somebody get set up, you know, maybe again, even technology specific, because you worked on so much like software as a service stuff. How did, like, what is like a good 1, 2, 3 things, maybe even just the top 3 things that come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of general advice. One of the things, like if I were to look back on my career so far, one of the biggest things that I always tell, you know, people that are looking for, you know, career advice, or maybe younger people entering into their professional career, is like, just get in and get your hands dirty. You know, with how fast things are evolving nowadays, really nobody knows it all. You could claim to be, you know, a technology expert or an expert in social media or an expert in selling or whatever, but all of these things are evolving so quickly. And I think that for a lot of people, they may be hesitant to like jump in, or they're quick to say like, oh, I don't really know too much about that, or I've never done this before. And so they kind of stay away from it. And I think that you might be selling yourself short by taking that approach. And so I always tell people, you know, I didn't know anything about aviation. I didn't know anything about software. I didn't know anything about selling. But, you know, I just got on the phone one day and did a demo, or, you know, I decided to, you know, start working on developing a new product and, you know, just dove into it. And I think that by asking a lot of questions and just digging into it, you could learn so much very quickly. And so that's probably a big thing. And one of the things that has really become, you know, super powerful for me over the last few years here has just been networking. And networking is easier than it's ever been before with, you know, like LinkedIn and Instagram. And, you know, I've been able to connect with, just in the last year, hundreds, if not thousands of new people, and just getting other perspectives. And whether it's in the industry you're in or outside, you know, you could learn a lot from these people, and, you know, they can connect you with, you know, new business or, you know, vendors that can help you do things. And so I think just networking is something that is just huge for growing professionally.
So, Greg, this was a great interview. We learned a whole lot about aviation, marine, and kind of the similarities and differences of both. So where can people find you and hear more about what you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, personally, you can find me on LinkedIn, Greg Hine on LinkedIn. You know, if you have any questions, want to learn more about what we're doing on either the marine or the aviation space, you know, feel free to connect and shoot me a message. Love to talk. You can also learn more about our product at vesselvanguard.com or seakits.com. Also, you can follow us on all the social pages under those two names. And then you can find our aviation podcast at ghcinteractive.com. The name of the podcast is the Aviation Growth Podcast. And that's up on YouTube, on Apple, on Spotify, and a few other platforms. And so, yeah, definitely, if you're interested in learning more about that, you could reach out, but also subscribe to those pages so you get the latest updates.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Greg.
Yeah, no problem. I really appreciate you guys having me on and let me talk about all the things that we're up to. And yeah, I just appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Best of luck on your adventures, man.
Thank you.
Take care. If you liked this content, you love what we have on ShipShape.pro.